We pray. Heavenly Father, you know the hour and the day of Christ's return, and you know best how to prepare us. Keep us ever watching. Keep us ever in your word, dear Lord. Give us hearts filled with repentance and faith, aglow in your salvation, that we might eagerly anticipate and wait for his return. In Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen. We turn our attention to our second scripture lesson, Paul's words in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. One of my favorite portions of the worship service is right at the end, not the end of the word, but right at the end, the final blessing that God places on his people. Do you listen to it very closely? It's really rather remarkable that that blessing we end the service with dates all the way back to Moses and Aaron as God was bringing the people out of Egypt to the promised land. In fact, it's only because of the ongoing blessing of God that they ever made it to the promised land. But listen to how God gave instructions for that blessing. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." Wow. Paul kind of picks up that whole thought of God's name being on us and his blessing resting on us as he's talking to these Corinthians. Notice what he says to them. "I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way." God's blessing, his name resting upon us. As we look through the pages of Scripture, we see all throughout time, one of the threads that goes through the entire account of Scripture is how much God wants to bless his people of every age. And boy, that's what we're counting on in these end times. That's why we cry out with the people of old, "God, bless us and keep us to the end." It might at first surprise us to hear Paul gush over the Corinthians. If we look at what he writes to them, he doesn't have a lot to compliment them for. Actually, in this first letter, he's kind of taking them to task. They have wandered in so many ways, and so now he should gush at them? Listen to some of the things he confronts them with. "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. So then, no more boasting about men. Some of you have become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a whip or in love and with a gentle spirit? It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you and of a kind that does not occur even among the pagans. A man has his father's wife, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? You yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers. On and on Paul goes with these Corinthians. This Corinthian congregation is a mess. But how do those two things sit side by side? How can he say such glowing things about how the Lord has blessed them in every way, and they're such a mess? Well, the reality is, God's grace neglected is soon lost. And that's why Paul comes to warn them, very sternly warns them, so that they will wake up and turn around and repent and not lose the grace that is slipping away between their fingers. They're not a mess because God hasn't graced them enough. No, but because they have neglected what God has given us. The very thing that could make their life so rich and so beautiful, they neglect God's undeserved love and mercy. Could that be said of us? Would Paul write these words to us? This whole situation reminds me of Freddie Matilski. Freddie was a clever boy, good-hearted, good-natured, enjoyed a good time. Everybody loved Freddie. In grade school, his teachers tried to get on him to make sure he did his work. But Freddie would just give him one of his charming smiles and say, okay, and never get around to doing it. In high school, Freddie excelled at parties. Oh, he knew everyone and everyone's party, and he was there. Once again, his teachers got on him, and he said, oh, don't worry, I've got it covered, not a problem. And he'd give him that charming smile and wouldn't do the work. He graduated with D's, low D's at that. And to his utter amazement, there wasn't a college that wanted him. Oh, I guess I have to go into the workforce. He went and applied to jobs, and they asked him, well, can you read or write? Are you good with numbers? Or do you have any skills that we could use? And he flashes charming smile. Well, after a year of delivering pizzas, he sat in his one-room apartment with his head in his hands, sobbing uncontrollably. This is what my teachers had been telling me all along. I was throwing away my future because I would not get an education. A good education could have changed all this. And now all I see before me is utter darkness and poverty, and I am going to be suffering for the rest of my days for what I failed to do when I had the chance. Do we ever cry tears of regret? What we let slip through our fingers? The opportunities and the blessings that God has plopped in our lap only to be ignored, neglected, and lost? God has blessed us with His grace. But it's true for us in these end times too. Grace neglected is lost. God's grace, His undeserved love, and all that comes with Jesus Christ and His salvation can lift us up above every trial and trouble. It can mend every wound. It can heal every disease. It can forgive every sin and deliver us home to heaven. But when we neglect that grace, then all we can do is fall into the dark hole of despair, hopelessness. For there is only one God and one grace that He gives us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there, God is coming this Advent season to warn us, to watch, to be prepared. But what would lead us to neglect His grace? Aren't we impenetrable to those temptations? Not at all. That's why he says, watch, Be prepared. Repent. Because just as surely as the Lord comes to bestow His grace upon our head, heart, and soul, so Satan is right there to curse us with his lies. And oh, how he wraps up his lies with pretty bows and makes them all sound like they're the greatest wisdom of the world. But they're all poisonous. Have you heard any of Satan's lies lately? The world is permeated with them. He likes us to believe that we're the greatest thing that ever happened on the face of the earth. Ooh, we should love ourselves. We're just so wonderful. Or you can do and be anything you want. Really. You deserve anything you want. If you want it, just say, it's my right. I deserve it. And that should end all discussions. You are totally entitled to whatever makes you happy. That's the end and be of all things, you and your happiness. And the world would love us to believe that whatever you believe about something, whatever you think about it, that's right for you. And don't let anyone ever tell you you're wrong. They don't have a right to tell you you're wrong. Really? That's reality? And the lies just keep on going and going and going, making us ever our own God. But the reality is, we're not gods. We're nowhere close to being gods. We're not even right all the time. Maybe even wrong most of the time. The reality is, we're not the greatest thing that's ever been created, that's ever walked the face of this earth. We don't deserve that kind of love and adoration and devotion from anyone. Actually, most of our righteousness isn't like the stars in the sky, but Scripture says like filthy rags, disgusting, vile rags. None of us are so lovely that we deserve the praise of others. Oh, how we'd love to have celebrity status. We're just not that good. There is a world of difference between having a healthy love for ourselves that's balanced and in proportion, as opposed to truly believing the universe revolves around us. It's only what I want that really matters. I shouldn't have to go out of my way for someone else. The world owes me a living. The world owes me fame and glory. The world owes me all kinds of happiness. What lies? The reality is we can't do anything we want. Everybody has limitations. And we can't be anything we want. Just because we want something doesn't necessarily mean we're entitled to it. You know, we do have to live with the word no at times. The people of our lives aren't obligated to doing whatever we want. And we shouldn't always assume we're going to be the focus of their lives. We don't deserve even what we have, let alone all the things we still want to have. Now, I would suspect for most of us, we wouldn't ever actually say these things out loud in the light of day. Oh, I really think I'm the center of the universe. No. But that doesn't mean our sinful nature hasn't gotten us to believe them in some degree in the depths of our heart. We just feel so cheated when things don't go our way. And the real poison that Satan has in these lies is that it puts us at the center of the universe. It slowly cons us into being our own gods. I should be able to call the shots. It's all about me. And it never is. It's always about our Lord in everything. But if Satan takes our attention away from the Lord and puts it on us, then we're not ready for his return. Then we're oblivious to his word. Then we are squandering his grace. Much like Freddie, who woke up and said, oh, the education was right there and I let it pass by me. So also, we can let God's grace go by. Let's fast forward to Judgment Day. I wonder how many poor souls are going to be crying out on Judgment Day, is that you, Jesus? We heard about you. We didn't realize you were so serious. I mean, we love Christmas. It's a good time to exchange presents. And Easter's fun with the bunnies and the eggs and that. And we pop in and say hi. And we really love joining that club called church, you know. A lot of fun people there and fun things to do. But we didn't really know we were supposed to take you seriously. And oh, how there will be weeping and wailing when Jesus says, yes, you enjoyed your life. Your life was all about you. And now your life is over and eternity will begin. How scary that will be. Today is a day of God's grace. The days on this earth are soon going to be over. Are we ready for them to be over? Now is the time to take God and his word very seriously, because in his word is his grace. And grace embraced empowers. So we ask ourselves, who is it we're embracing this Advent season? Ourselves? Or the Lord, who gave himself for us? Notice what God has given to us. He gave it to the Corinthians, and he gives it to you and me. For in him you have been enriched in every way. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. Wow! Talk about Christmas presents. Ones that endure for all eternity. In Jesus, we have been enriched in every way. You know, God always takes risks with us. He gives and he gives and he gives and he gives some more, always taking the risk that at any moment we could fall in love more with the gifts he gives us than with the giver of those gifts. And that would be a tragedy. But he does not withhold his gifts just because we might fall into that sin. No, he still comes to us with forgiveness and love purchased on the cross, with peace and joy, not the superficial peace this world has or the momentary joy that this world can give. No, but an abiding peace between us and our holy, righteous God. Sins forgiven, and the joy, the anticipation that God loves us and he will continue to love us throughout all eternity. Never a day outside of his love. He gifts us through his grace with knowledge and insight. Oh, how we look at our world and our triumphs and our tragedies with a whole new set of eyes. Why? Because we've been touched by the love of God. And his word has brought light into our hearts and lives. And that's what sustains us. We have been enriched in every way. We do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Do you have all the spiritual gifts you need? One of the ways of knowing is this eager anticipation of Christ's return. We might take that for granted. But do you realize God's people can't get excited about his return except through faith, through trusting him. For unbelievers to ponder the return of Jesus, that means judgment and the fires of hell. But for us, who are his blood-bought children, we ponder that he's coming back, and it's soon, and that's good. And we start to eagerly yearn for those days even, because through faith we know what he is bringing us. Life everlasting in heaven. He's gone to prepare a mansion for us. He's washed us clean. We don't have to be afraid of standing before the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we will be in his perfect presence for all eternity. And so he moves our heart to say, Lord, come, come quickly. And that's a sign of faith, that we trust all the promises he's made for us in that day. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither the height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See how his grace holds on to us? Nothing can break his love for us. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ultimately, we don't keep ourselves strong. He keeps us strong. How? Through his love, his grace that empowers us and emboldens us. And the more we embrace his grace and inwardly digest it, repenting of our sins and holding on to his forgiveness, the stronger we become, because he makes us strong to wait with confidence for his second arrival. He is coming. And so he keeps us strong, and we will stand blameless. We, us, sinners, blameless. Because Jesus took our blame for us and paid the penalty before we were even born. And so we will stand at Jesus' side in glory on that judgment day. Jesus gives us the greatest blessing of all, himself. He doesn't just give us presence, but in him we have new life. That's why the final blessing of this service is such a beautiful blessing. You've probably listened to it and taken it to heart time and time and time again, but do it again today. Listen to what the Lord is actually saying and proclaiming onto our hearts and souls in those few short words. Each time you hear it, Jesus gives us himself. And so we go home truly blessed. We are the forgiven and loved children of God, more than conquerors. And therefore we can defeat sin and Satan, no longer to be swept away in our sins, but rather to be held fast in God's grace. And so we are secure and safe. And in the end, we will stand next to him, and that's why our heart continues to yearn and say, God, bless us and keep us to the very end. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Merciful Lord, our time is in your hand. It always has been. And how graciously you have carried us from day to day and year to year, never closing off your grace to us, but calling us ever deeper and deeper into your word, that we might live in your grace and abide in your favor now and forever. So in these end times, when the time is almost out, so renew our hearts and lives that we might eagerly be waiting for your return. Fill our hearts with faith and confidence, dear Lord, that you have promised and you are faithful to your word. In Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.